Right, I'm about to record what I'm saying. I feel like the Lord is wanting me to prophesy something. You see, really, I'm a prophet in a pastor's clothing, and so that really is my primary function. And most of you will never really get to see that much, but there we go. But something has happened today, which is very significant for us as Britons, and the European treaty thing has gone through. That they've agreed for their sort of side of things on the Brexit deal. And I don't think God is very happy. And this is what I must declare. I'm just going to say it out loud. You see, when prophets of old, they would speak, they wouldn't even necessarily go to the nations they spoke to, but they spoke to them because they were releasing the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord will do what he will do. And unfortunately, I have to say this over our government and over our country. Many, many tekel are passing. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You are weighed in the balances, are found wanting. Your kingdom is divided and has been given to another. And I just feel God is really not pleased with what has happened this week and what is about to happen. And I've had many dreams, many visions for about 20 odd years about what's about to come to this land. And unfortunately, what's happened now has just triggered it. Because God led this country to come out of something that he wasn't happy that we were even in to start with. People voted for that. Not only did people vote for that, but he moved people by his spirit to come out. And yet, people who think they are better and know more than the plans and purposes of God have tried to intervene and tried to stop what God has decreed must happen. And because man has put his hatchet on the line, and because man has tried to sabotage the engine of what God was trying to do, God has unfortunately have to bring down the axe of his judgment. And unfortunately, it's going to bring a separation from us from Europe, whether we like it or not. But unfortunately, it's going to be costly, and it's going to bring our nation to a place of humility. You see, God cannot heal our land until our land has been humbled. Unless my people humble themselves and pray, then I will not heal their land. And this land must now come through a time of humbling. This land must come through a place where it will call out to the Lord its God. It is a nation that is proud. It is a nation that has become arrogant. It is a nation that has thrown aside my laws and my precepts, and thrown aside my word, and thrown aside my people, and thrown aside my church. My church has forsaken my ways. My church has forsaken my laws and my precepts and my holy words. They have moved to the left when they should have always been in my kingdom. They should have been teaching the kingdom, but instead they taught the precepts and the doctrines and the philosophies of man. And because of this, I must humble my church as well. There are those that are following me, and they're following me with all their heart. I don't speak to them. I speak to the church that takes my word and brings mixture to it, and brings worldliness to it, and brings worldly philosophies and worldly ideologies to my word. No more. This country is going to be humbled. And unfortunately, the institutions which hold this country up are now going to have to topple. The things that this country feels that it has sure foundations, I am now going to take away, says the Lord. And I will tear away the veil of lasciviousness so this country will finally wake up and look up and see that I alone am God. And I will save all who call upon the name of the Lord. But I feel God is saying enough is enough. They've had their time. Many, many tekel are passing. You've had your time. You've had your chance. You've had your warnings. But you refuse to listen. And you refuse to relent. And you refuse to repent. And now I do not want to do what I now have to do. But you chose this. You chose to not follow me. You chose to not follow the voice of the people. You chose not to follow the leading of my people. You chose not to follow the leading of my prophets. I'm speaking now to the government. They have heard the voice of the prophets. They have heard the prayers of the saints that have gone up for this land. They know the petitions of my people and they have ignored them. And I tell you now, you will not ignore the voice of my prophets in this land anymore. You will now come to a time of humility and you will be humbled, says the Lord. But I have plans for this nation. Yes, she must be humbled, but I will bandage up her wounds. I will take care of her and I will raise her up and I will look after her. And all of those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I will bring this country into the plans and purposes that I have for it. And I have plans to prosper this country. I do not have plans to harm her. But know this. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. You have chosen to do it your way. And this night the kingdom will be taken from you. But know this, my people, that my plans, my purposes, and the heart of the church praying for revival is now coming about. But you need to hang on and you need to hang on tight because everything is going to be shaken. And all which can be shaken will be shaken. And I will shake the hearts of man. I will shake the institutions of man. I will shake the churches of man. I will shake everything so that all that is left is pure and is holy and is righteous and gives glory to my name. And this land will be called great again. Not because of the greatness of man, but because of the greatness of my spirit that sweeps this nation as this nation in humility says, sorry, Lord, we're sorry. We repent, Lord. When this country, like it did it once before in the Second World War, when they came to days of prayer and they humbled themselves and said, God, we cannot do this. We need you to intervene. I intervene, says the Lord. Those days will come again. Those churches will be filled. And again, my people will cry out and the people of this land will cry out and they'll say, save us from what's happening. And I will hear their prayers and I will bring my salvation, says the Lord. Not just salvation of spirit, but salvation of your physical bodies. I will save you from what's coming. And the church at large, she's happy-go-lucky. She sees the news. She sees the signs of the times and she's blind to that which is right in front of her. She is blind. And when this tidal wave comes and it's now began, when this tidal wave hits this coast, she will go, well, we never knew. We never saw this coming. God, why did you let this happen? And I say to you, church, I told you, I warned you. You saw it in the papers. You saw it on the news. You could not have been blind to it. You knew it was coming. Even if you didn't listen to my prophets, you knew that it was coming, but you chose to ignore it. You chose to brush it under the carpet. And sadly, first judgment must come to the house of the Lord. But I only judge that I may raise you up, that I may bless you, that I may help you to walk in the things that I have for you. I'm going to do great things in this land. But I'm sorry for what you're about to see come upon this nation. I'm sorry for what is about to happen to your government. I'm sorry about what's about to happen to the institutionalized church. I'm sorry about what's going to happen to your economic systems. But I do this so that I may bring revival. I do this that I may bring life to this dying country. I do it that I may bring sanity to the insanity of this nation. I do it that I may bring light to the darkness. I do it that I may bring fruitfulness where there is barrenness. Do not look with the eyes of man and the eyes of mammon, but look with the eyes of the Spirit and see what I'm about to do. Is a glorious thing and a great thing, for it will glorify me, says the Lord. But it will humble man. Hallelujah. So, in the light of that, one of the things that we need to do, you see, I've been teaching on purpose for a while now about equipping the church, about her walking in a place of faith, about walking in a place of intimacy in the things of God, about meditating on scripture, about getting deeper and deeper into the things of God. Because if I'd said 2 years ago, what I know is coming, most people would run for the hills. Most people would be frightened. Most people would be terrified. God doesn't want his people in tumult and in terror. He wants his people to be in a place of being stood on the foundation and rock solid. And I'm telling you now, everything is going to shake. Yes, there'll be some that will stumble, but you will get back up again. But what is coming is going to shake us. And this is why we cannot play around with this anymore. We can't do this anymore. We can't play around with the silliness of man anymore. We can't do it. And I tell you the truth, the day has now arrived where all of our nonsense is over. Because you'll look around and go, but this and but that, it will mean nothing tomorrow. It will mean nothing. Because only thing that matters is this. The only thing that matters is the kingdom of God. The only thing that matters is that we are of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing. Or what about my new hairdo? Or what about my new car that I wanted to buy? What about that mortgage I wanted to take out? What about this and what about that? Leave it. Leave it. Focus on the things of the kingdom. Focus on the things of God, because unfortunately the time has now come. Our days of frivolity, our days of just coasting in Christianity, our days of taking it easy and sunbathing in the glory of God is over. It's over. We're now coming into a new season. And it's a season of power. But you see, when God pours out his power, there comes with it a season of responsibility. I remember a pastor friend of mine, he was around, he's still alive now, and he's in his 80s. And he was, when he was a very young lad, probably about 15, 16, his pastor had been in the Welsh Revival with Evan Roberts. And so he would ask him questions about the Welsh Revival. And he said, so, you know, what did you do all day? I mean, how was it you were just stuck on the floor for hours? What were you doing in there? Because back in those days, they didn't have smoke machines and lights and real awesome things going on there. You know, they just had a hymn, a thing, and that was it. He said, what did you do? He said, well, really. He said, when the holiness of God turned up, he said, you went to the floor and you stayed there and you didn't move. You wouldn't dare move. And you're some of us are going, do I really want to see that in the church? Do I really want to see that? I remember years ago, I said to God, oh Lord, send revival, send revival. And the Holy Spirit said to me so clearly, he said, there'll come a day where you wish you'd never prayed it. Because when you see the holiness of God, when you're in the presence of God in the flesh, the flesh in its current state cannot cope with the power and the presence of Almighty God. When Isaiah was in the presence of God, he was like, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And when the presence of God comes back to the church, it will be unendurable, but it will be glorious. Oh, it will be glorious. And when you see the power of God moving, and it's not dependent on a man's name on a billboard. It's not down to the great evangelist. It's not down to great so-and-so and brother this and sister that. It's a time for our egos to be burnt up. It's a time to put that nonsense aside. It's a time to put away all the, I want to be a great minister in the things of the kingdom of God. I want to have my name etched in the annals of history. Forget it. Because we're not here for us, but we're here to serve the purposes of the King. That is all we're here for. We are here to serve our glorious, mighty, mighty King. I remember one of the first dreams that God ever gave me, excuse me, was I was walking down the south coast and I saw this big hurricane type thing, tornado thing coming in out of the sea and onto the land. And on the land were all these beach huts just arched around the south coast. And this column of wind turned into a column of fire, and it just smashed into all these beach huts. And these beach huts were all the ministries and all the churches and all the institutions that were built in the name of Jesus, but were actually built in the name and for the glory of man. And one by one, they were disintegrated and vaporized by the heat of God's power and God's glory. And I ran for my life, and I could feel the searing heat of this fire burning across my face as I had to get away from it, as it was consuming everything that was not of God. All those ministries that claimed to be of God, all those churches that claimed to be of God, he just burnt them all up. Bang, 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 bang. And then eventually there was this house made of stone down the end of the shore, and the cloud of God's glory came down and descended upon it, and the house was disappeared in all of this fire. But then the fire lifted, and I was taken inside this house. And as I was inside the house, it looked like a building like this sort of size. And all the walls were encrusted with gems and gold and silver, because God had purified his church. And it was the glory of God that purified his church. You see, every single piece of diamond, every crustacean of semi-precious stones and precious stones in the wall is his people, that were all purified and set on display by the power and the glory and the majesty of God. And God is coming back to town, and he wants his church back. And he's taking the hands of man off that which belongs to him. He's taking the hands of man off that which is sacred and that which is holy. God is bringing holiness back to the church again. The days of running into church like the flappers from the 1940s, where we're just like, ha ha, I'm just going to be exuberant and like this, and I'm just going to say it, and I'm transgender and all these things. When they come into the presence of Almighty God, they will fall to their knees and cry out, woe is me, I'm before a holy God. And God will change them, God will save them, God will set them free. And the lies and the philosophies of man will be dealt with a punishing blow. We serve a wonderful God. Jesus loves us. The message of grace we've had for the last 20 years is a powerful, beautiful message. But everything comes in seasons. And the season that we have to move into now, because of the severity of what we're coming into, is we'll always be under God's grace. But we're moving into a new season, a season of holiness. A season, it's not just about the holiness of God, it's about our holiness. It's about us being separated to God. It's about us learning to love one another and accept one another and not judge one another. That we do all things in the light of his glory and in the light of the revelation of Christ and not our ideas. You see, when you behold the glory of God, when you behold the vision of Christ, when you behold God in such a way that you know him like that, that when you look at yourself and you look at others, everything that you are pales into insignificance compared to him. And therefore, you're in no place to judge another believer. You're all in this together. And you see, this is the irony, is this will be what will unite his church. This is all prophetic. You see, this church is a Methodist church. But it won't be soon. There are Church of England's out there. There are Pentecostal churches. There are charismatic churches out there. There are Baptist churches out there. But they won't be soon. They'll just be the church. Because all of those things will be torn down. The Methodist symbol will be ripped down. The Church of England will be ripped down. The Pentecostals will rip it all down, because we're all in this together, because we all worship and serve the same God. And as a sign of the times, of the end of days, the prayer of John 17 will finally come to pass, when Jesus said, I pray that my people will be one, even as we are one. And we will see a new church rise up. We will see from the destruction of all that we hold dear around us, from the destruction of what even we thought was Christian, as it all falls to the ground and lies doomed in ashes, then we see that building where the glory of God came on it and then raised. We see this wonderful, wonderful, beautiful, purified church in resplendent glory, sharing and shining with the glory that He has given to His church. Because Jesus says, "The glory, Lord, that you've given to me, I give to them." And we are going to be a glorious church. And this will be the thing that will make us one. We will be one people. There'll be none of this, "Oh, it's that church," or, "Oh, I go to this church," or, "My church is better than your church." There'll be none of that. Because we'll all have the same enemy. We'll all have the same fears. We'll all have the same problems. And we can only pull through this together. And this will be a time, a great lurch, as this country breaks free from Europe, because God's going to do it whether we like it or not. And unfortunately, the way it's going to be done is going to be costly to us. But as our nation lurches to one side and everyone falls over and things start to shake, as we get up and rise up again, we'll realize that as Christians, we cannot afford to do things by ourselves. The day of the wanting to build a name for myself, or, you know, be the next Catherine Coleman or whatever it is, are over. There's no time for this anymore. There's no time for celebrities anymore. Everything that we know will be gone. The pop idols, all of that, be meaningless. Nothing. Gone. The only thing that will be idolized in this country will be that which should be idolized, and that's the name of Jesus. Only He will be idolized in these upcoming days. It's going to be a glorious time, church. It's going to be glorious. But it's going to be difficult because of the things that we put our trust in. Even things that we don't know, we put our trust in. God wants us to trust in Him with all of our hearts. And He wants us to love Him with all of our mind, all of our spirit, all of our soul, and all of our energies. God is not judging us tonight. He's not judging His church. But He's warning us. But He's also encouraging us. Good things are coming. Really good things are coming. But a time of great shaking has now begun on our nation. And you see, God doesn't want His people walking around like headless chickens going, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." No, He wants His people. So when the world's going, "What is going on around here?" And I'm telling you, everything will lurch. You know, what I see in my mind's eye is everything lurches so hard and so quick. Buildings are cracking and splitting and things are coming tumbling down and people are running in panic, wondering what is going on. The institutions of this land are now going to topple. And everyone's going to wonder what on earth is going on. And the only people that should have it together is going to be us. They're going to look to us, and it's like it says in Isaiah, it says, many people will come to the Jew and grab a hold of him and say, "You know, you have the ways of salvation. You know the way of salvation. Tell me, show me." And that's what's going to happen. But if you and I are running around like headless chickens like everybody else, you can't say you didn't know this was coming. You can't say that you weren't warned. You cannot say it. You cannot, in good conscience, in your heart of hearts, say, "Well, I never knew that was ever going to happen. I just never thought it was going to happen in my lifetime." Because you know, deep down in here, you've known it. You've all in this room, everybody has known it. And you knew the clock was ticking away, tick, tick, tick. Everybody in this room knew it. You might not realize it's going to become so quick, but this has been a long time coming. A long time coming. And I believe God has been gracious to our nation by holding off as long as He could. But it's here now, and it's here to stay. And this whole country is going to be a new country. And it's going to be built on the back of prayer. This nation is not going to be built on the back of laborers or the cleverness or the wisdom of man or the economies of man. This country will be built on the back of the prayers of the saints. It will be a united church that will bring about this nation's rising again. It will be on the back of this church. This nation. You see, God loves this nation. People have a heart for Israel, and rightly so. But people lack a heart for their own country and for their own people. And God would have you know that He has a heart for this country. He has a love for this country. He's given our nation history that you should be proud of. A heritage of spirituality that has lasted nearly thousands of years in this country. You should be proud of it. God has an agenda and a plan and a purpose for this seemingly small and insignificant country. And God has not forgotten this country. God has a plan for this country. There's been many great prophecies over this country. This country is significant to the affairs of Israel in the future. God has a plan. But God wants you to see this land as also as your promised land. God wants you to see this land as your heritage, your fair and green and pleasant land. He wants you to get a heart and a hunger for this nation again. Don't look at it for all the filth, but look at it for what she once was and what she could be again. Look at it with the eyes of the Spirit. Look at it and go, Lord, this is what we contend for in the Spirit. This is what we yearn for. This is what we cry out for. This is what we pray for, Lord God, that you would make this ancient land thrum with the energy of your Spirit again, Lord God, as the people are praying and the people are praising and the people are worshiping. And there are churches from the top of this land to the very bottom of this land, Lord God, where people are singing and crying out and praying to you. And the land is full of little fires all over the place. So the whole country is like a burning torch at night as this whole nation thrums with the very glory of God. You might say, this is a load of rubbish. Well, I would say to you, says the Lord, read your history. Read your history. I have done it before, and it stands to reason if I've done it before, I will do it again, for I am unchanging, says the Lord. I am the same yesterday, and I am the same today. I am the rock, and I changeth not. If I did it 200 years ago, I will do it again. But I'm going to do it in greater measure. Why? Because there's more at stake. There are more people. I'm going to give my church such a heart for the souls of this nation that I'm going to birth a spirit of intercession on my people. But it will be an unnatural spirit of intercession, unnatural for your human body, in that I will enable you to do things in the spirit that your physical body would not allow you to do. You will have endurance that the physical body could not endure. This will be a supernatural empowering of my people to pray for this nation. God is going to do some outlandish and crazy things. The things that he's about to do in this nation, what we're going to do, this is how it's going to be. In 20 years' time, we're going to look back and go, man, we were clueless. We just had no idea. We thought we were clever. We knew nothing. We knew nothing. Well, we had no idea that God could do the things that he does now. Our God's a good God, amen? Amen? He's got a plan. He's got a hope for us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you, Lord, that you have a heart for this nation, Lord God. You love this nation, Jesus. You love this green and pleasant land. You love this place. You love the heritage that she has for you, Lord Jesus. You love, Lord God, the fact that this nation had communities of people that just prayed and worshipped and adored you. You love the fact that the whole of the nation came together in prayer, Lord God, to protect us from the evil might of the Germans, Lord God. You came, Lord Jesus, and you delivered us. You love this land, and we praise you for it, Jesus. We give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory, and we pray, oh God, let us not be a fearful people, but let us be a triumphant, victorious, brave and strong people. Amen. Oh, glory, 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 glory. God would also say this, there will come a persecution, but I will not permit it to get out of hand. You will get persecution and it will come from the Muslims, but I will not let it get out of hand. I will protect my people. Because all that which is shaken will be shaken. You see, as the church provokes my people Israel to jealousy, you will be provoking Muslims to jealousy. You'll be provoking them with the reality that your God is real and theirs is not. And they'll hate you for it. But I will turn many to come to know me. For I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to break the back of Islam in this country. I'm going to break its back. Amen. That it will be a weak, feeble religion. Amen. But I'm going to do glorious things through those people. I'm going to do glorious things through those people. But also, church, this is going to be a difficult time because public opinion is going to move away from the Muslims. At the moment, everyone loves them. But the time is coming when public opinion will despise them. And you see, my church, you've got to be very careful because you are not allowed to judge or despise anybody. But you must love all of mankind and you must help the Muslim. As much as you would help the Englishman, as much as you would help the Jew, you must help them. When times of difficulty arise, you must help them. But in doing that, you may incur the wrath of your own country. You have a choice. You either go with your country and incur my wrath, or you do the right thing and you may incur the wrath of your people. These are going to be difficult times, but they're going to be the best of times. It is going to be known as the golden age of the church, where the church comes into her fullness. You're going to see things, well, I'll put it this way, there's no reference point to what you're coming into. No reference point at all. You will look back at ancient revivals and you will not find what you're looking for because there's no reference point. What's coming is so far beyond anything you've experienced or anything you've ever touched, seen or read or known about that the revivals of the past will not be your reference point. You'll be in the deep end just as much as they were. But you won't drown. Hallelujah. So be encouraged, be blessed, and forewarned. You are prepared. You're God's bride. He loves you. He delights in you. And he loves you. Oh, guys, he loves us so much. He knows that he's brought a heavy word to us. But what is coming? You see, Jesus set his face like flint. He knew what was coming. But he looked beyond that because he knew the joys of what was soon to come after that. And that's how we as the church need to be. Set our faces like flint at what's about to come. But look to the joy of what's over the top of that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.